Chapter 17, The Betrayal and Arrest.
The Savior showed no traces of his recent suffering as he stepped forth to meet his betrayer. Standing ahead of his disciples, he asked the mob, "Whom are you seeking?" John 18:4. They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth," verse 5. Jesus replied, "I am he," verse 5. As Jesus spoke these words, the angel who had recently come to help him moved between him and the mob. A divine light illuminated the Savior's face, and a dove-like form overshadowed him. The divine glory overwhelmed the murderous throng. They staggered backward. The priests, elders, and soldiers dropped to the ground. Then the angel withdrew, and the light faded away. Jesus could have escaped, but he remained, calm and self-possessed. His disciples were too amazed to say a word. The Roman soldiers soon got to their feet. Along with the priests and Judas, they gathered about Christ. They seemed ashamed of their weakness and fearful that he would escape. Again the Redeemer asked, "Whom are you seeking?" Verse 7. Again they answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." The Savior then said, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these," pointing to his disciples, "go their way." Verse 8. Even in his hour of trial, Christ was concerned about his beloved disciples. He did not wish to have them suffer, even though he must go to prison and to death. Judas, the betrayer, approached Jesus and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Matthew 26:50. His voice trembled as he added, "Judas, you are betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Luke 22:48. The gentle words should have touched the heart of Judas, but all tenderness and honor seemed to have left him. Judas had yielded himself to Satan's control. He stood boldly before the Lord and was not ashamed to give him up to the cruel mob. Christ did not refuse the traitor's kiss. By accepting it, he gave us an example of love and concern for others. If we are his disciples, we must treat our enemies as he treated Judas. The murderous throng became bold as they saw Judas touch the person they had so recently seen blazing with glory. They seized the Savior and bound those hands that had been constantly doing good. The disciples did not think that Christ would allow himself to be taken. They knew that the power that had already stunned the mob could keep them helpless till Christ and they could escape. But to their great disappointment and anger, they saw ropes tied around the hands of the Jesus they loved. Peter, in his anger, rashly drew his sword and tried to defend his master. But he only cut off an ear of the high priest's servant. When Jesus saw what had happened, he released his hands, though held firmly by the Roman soldiers. "Permit even this," he said, Luke 22:51. Then he touched the wounded ear, and it was instantly made whole. Then he ordered Peter, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the Scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" Matthew 26:52-54. "Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" John 18:11. Christ then turned to the chief priests and the temple police, who were with the mob, and said, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But the Scriptures must be fulfilled." Mark 14:48-49. It upset the disciples when they saw that the Savior made no effort to escape his enemies. They blamed him for not doing so and could not understand why he submitted to the mob. Terror-stricken, his followers fled. Christ had already predicted their desertion. Indeed, he had said, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. John 16:32.